Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I want to talk to you this morning about, do you have a thankful heart? Psalm 100 is where we will begin, where we'll spend most of our time. Do you have a thankful heart? This is a week of Thanksgiving, as I've already mentioned, and we have a holiday on the calendar, a day when it tells us that we're supposed to be thankful. And I hope you are thankful on that day, but I hope you are thankful 364 other days of the year as well. In Luke 17, the Bible tells us that 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing. Now let's remember, leprosy was a terrible and contagious skin disease that often resulted in death as the flesh and tissue was just eaten away over time. So lepers were kept separate. That was the first century version of social distancing. They were kept separate in their leper colony because if you touched a leper, if you came in close contact with a leper, you would likely get it. And again, as I say, that's pretty much a death sentence in those days. So these 10 lepers came to Jesus and they begged him to heal them of this terrible disease. And he did. He healed 10 lepers. But how many of those came back and thanked him? One came back and thanked him for healing him. The others went on their way without ever a thought of thanking him. Have you ever known a truly thankful person? There are some people we know in this life who, regardless of what the circumstances might be, they find something for which to thank God. And being around a person like that can be a blessing and can be really uplifting. On the other hand, have you ever known someone who was unthankful? Perhaps you've worked beside someone at your place of business that, regardless of what was going on, they're griping, they're complaining, they never express gratitude for anything. And really, such people kind of drag us down. If you listen to griping and complaining all day long, it's real easy to join right in. And they're complaining about this and this and this, and you can say, yeah, and you know what else? And you start complaining as well. So the Bible clearly tells us to be thankful. It also warns us of the dangers of being unthankful. And as we look at Psalm 100, we're going to really look at the reasons for a thankful heart, the response of a thankful heart, the ruin of an unthankful heart, and then a reminder to have a thankful heart. So I want to ask you this personal question. Do you have a thankful heart? Are you a thankful person? Keep that question in mind as we look at our scripture this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 100, and then we'll go back and talk about some different things from the various verses. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So let's start thinking about reasons for a thankful heart. Why should we have a thankful heart? And we're going to find seven reasons in verses 3 and 5. So let's start back there in verse 3. I've already read that to you. It says, "Know you that the Lord, he is God." The first reason to have a thankful heart is the Lord is God. Now that may sound very obvious and elementary, but let's remember that throughout the world, there are many, many thousands of different so-called gods with a small g. And in the date and the time when this was written, around the time of King David, they lived in a land surrounded by other countries that worshipped other gods. We hear in the Bible about Baal and Ashtoreth and some of those. that were false gods worshipped in some of the lands nearby. And you know, folks, we got false gods worshipped here today in our country and around the world. But the Lord is God. The word Lord there is the Hebrew word Yahweh or Jehovah. That is God's personal and covenant name. And so what the psalmist is saying there is the Lord, our Lord, is God. All these others are not, but our Lord is God. No other so-called God really is God. And it says there, know this, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Know it. It is certain. You can be certain of it. It is not up for debate, and there is no doubt. There's not going to be a recount. There's no difference of opinion. He is God. Know this. We should be thankful because the Lord, our Lord, is the one true and living God of the universe. And then we should be thankful. Another reason for a thankful heart is that the Lord made us. Look at verse 3 again. It says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We can be thankful for the fact that the Lord made us. Where would you be if the Lord hadn't made you? You wouldn't. I got a response now. I need response if you want to answer this. I got a question for you. How many of you created yourself? Good. Nobody raised their hand. That means everybody was listening to the question. I want to make sure to state the question because sometimes we have awkward because they didn't listen. But none of us created ourselves. The Bible makes it clear. He made us. That's without doubt. He made us. We didn't. And evolution didn't make us. Occasionally you'll hear somebody talk about being a self-made man. Folks, there are no self-made men. Because not a one of us can keep our heart beating the next beat and the next beat and the next beat and the next beat. Be interesting to find out how many times has your heart beat over a course of a 70-year life, for instance. Not a one of us can keep our heart beating. Not a one of us can keep our lungs taking in oxygen and transferring that oxygen microscopically into our bloodstream to get it out all over our body. And you name it. Go on through the rest of the functions of the body, how the body works. Not a one of us can do that. It is God who has made us. We didn't come here by evolution. We didn't come here by Martians on a little spaceship. God made us. So we should be thankful because the Lord made us. The Lord's our God, and He made us. There's another thing in verse 3. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So the next reason for a thankful heart is the Lord claims us as His people. Do you realize He could have created us? He could be really God as He is. He could have created us. But He could have just said, y'all just go do whatever. I don't care. Just leave me alone. But no, He claims us as His people. He chose us to be His, not the other way around. He chose us. If you look at the Bible, God is a God who chooses. We see that all through the Bible. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Abel was the righteous one. So God gave Adam and Eve another son, Seth. And so they had Cain and Seth, but God chose Seth that the godly line would continue through him. Centuries later, the world was wicked. And God was going to destroy the world. And what did He do? He chose Noah and his family. We're all descended from Noah, right? And even of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, He chose Shem for the godly line that eventually leads to the Jews and leads to the Messiah. You go farther on, there's all these people on earth, but God chose Abram, or Abraham as we know him. And it just continues. God chose Moses. God is a God who chooses. And God has chosen us to be His. We are His people because He claims us. Have you ever been to a family reunion? And there's Uncle Ned over there that's a little bit wacky and different. And everybody kind of, is that your uncle? Well, yeah, I guess it is. You don't really want to claim him. But it's not that way with God. God claims us as His own people. We should be thankful because the Lord claims us as His own people. Let's find another one in verse 3. It says, "Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people." And what else? "And the sheep of His pasture." We are the sheep of His pasture, and that tells us that the Lord provides for us. That's another reason for a thankful heart. Think about it. Sheep are pretty much helpless and hopeless without a shepherd. Sheep are not particularly intelligent, and they don't have a lot of defenses. So they're pretty helpless and hopeless without a shepherd. The shepherd leads them, protects them, and provides for the sheep. So we are His sheep. How many times in the Scripture is the analogy of sheep and a shepherd used to speak of the relationship between God's people and God? We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. But notice where we are, the sheep of His pasture. What is a pasture? A pasture is good grazing land. Have you ever seen these things on TV, maybe these animal programs, and they show these goats that climb these steep mountains? It's incredible the way they do that. But you take those little white woolly sheep and stick them on a mountain, they haven't got anything to eat, right? Stick them in a desert, they haven't got anything to eat, they won't live long. Put them in a forest where there's trees but no grass, they won't live long. But God is our shepherd, we are His sheep, and He provides for us by putting us in a pasture where there is good grazing land. So we should be thankful because the Lord provides for us. He is God and He provides for us. And then down in verse 5, there's three more reasons for a thankful heart. It says, "For the Lord is good." Well, let's just stop there. That's another reason for a thankful heart. The Lord is good. You say, "Brother John, that's real obvious." Well, let's think about it a moment. What's the opposite of good? Bad. That's not a trick question. The opposite of good is bad. But the Lord is good. How many of you studied Greek mythology at some point in your school, in English literature or something like that? I remember getting to that and thinking, this is absolutely crazy when you read what these so-called gods were up to and what they were doing. Those so-called gods are far from good. They're actually evil, aren't they? So we want to be sure that we're clear. The Lord is our God. There's a lot of false gods out there, but the Lord is good. What He does is always right and good. And you know, you can be confident in the fact that the Lord is working good in your life. You say, "Brother John, my circumstances are not good at all." Hey, I understand that. We've all been through bad circumstances. But what does Romans 8:28 say? He's working all those things together for good. He is good and He's interested in your good and what's best for you. So we should be thankful because the Lord is good. And then also in verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." We should be thankful because the Lord's mercy is unending in verse 5. You know what mercy is. Mercy is withholding something that you deserved punishment. When our kids were little, sometimes they would misbehave and they deserved punishment, and we might actually say to them, "Now we're giving you a mercy on this. We're giving you mercy. We're not going to punish you on this because of some extenuating reasons or something." Mercy is withholding deserved punishment. We experience that all the time. How many of you can respond to this, how many of you have ever sinned? Some haven't, but most have. We are all sinners, right? The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And what does the Bible say about the cost or the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. If you have ever sinned and God didn't strike you dead, at that moment, that's mercy. Let's think about Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, you can eat anything you want, but don't eat the fruit from that tree right over there. And for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And they did die spiritually. But God didn't strike them dead at that moment. That was mercy. He gave them mercy. We studied the book of Revelation during the summer months, and it was my joy and privilege to teach that over the live stream. And one thing that just stood out to me over and over and over and over through that whole book of Revelation is God is being merciful. Yes, he's sending judgment. Yes, he's going to destroy the entire earth and all the wicked people, but he's extending mercy. He's giving people time to repent. He's getting the message of salvation out so people can repent. So God is merciful. And did you notice in verse 5, it says his mercy is everlasting. How long does God's mercy last? Forever. It's everlasting. It is unending. And you know, you're not going to get to the point where you go to God, God, I need mercy in this particular area, and he say, I'm sorry, time's up. You've had your chance. God's mercy is unending. Yes, he will judge and punish sin, and yes, we will pay the price in terms of the natural consequences of our action. But God is merciful. He's merciful to us every single day. His mercy is unending. You know, we're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, and thousands of people have been sick, and lots of people have died, and that is absolutely terrible. But have you ever thought about how come God gives us an immune system that fights off the common cold? How come you can get sick with the flu, and you do get well most of the time? Most people do. Some die. But you know, the fact that we can ever get well over anything, you break your leg, and it heals back together. You get a cut, and it heals. That's mercy, isn't it? So God's mercy is unending, and we should be thankful that because his mercy lasts forever. And then finally, in verse 5, it says, and his truth endureth to all generations. So the seventh reason I see for a thankful heart is the Lord's truth is unchanging. God's truth is found where? In God's Word. You got a Bible? God's truth is found in God's Word, and God's truth is not changing at all. Think about it, folks. Opinions change. You can probably think about some topic that you've had an opinion, and then later you changed your mind and you had a different opinion. Opinions change. Moral standards change. Unfortunately, if you're as old as me or older, you've seen some drastic changes in moral standards through the course of your life. But you know, science is often put up on a pedestal, like we got to worship science. But scientific facts change. You know it? There was a time centuries ago when the best scientists in the world believed that the earth was the center of the universe and the sun and the other planets and stars orbited around the earth, right? That was the accepted fact. It was fact. And frankly, if you bucked that, you could get put to death for it. But then finally, science changed its mind and realized that the earth is not the center and everything goes around the earth, but the earth is orbiting around the sun. And the sun's part of this great galaxy and everything like that. That scientific fact changed. You know, for a long time, people believed that the earth was flat. If you believe that right now, just don't tell anyone, okay? But then later on, they discovered that the earth is round and you're not going to sail off the edge of it. And hey, even in more recent times, when I was going to school and we learned about science and the solar system, there were 9 planets in the solar system. Then back a few years ago, they booted Pluto out and decided it wasn't a planet anymore, and then there was 8 planets. And then they changed their mind, and Pluto's a planet again. So you see what I'm saying? Scientific facts change. Opinions change. Moral standards change. God's Word never changes. The Lord's truth endures forever. It never changes. So we should be thankful because the Lord's truth never changes. So that's reasons for a thankful heart. Let me talk to you next about the response of a thankful heart. If you have a thankful heart, what will you do? And we'll see that in verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. Let me just look at 1 and 2 again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Make a joyful noise. Folks, God put that in the Bible for those who can't sing. They just make noise, but it's joyful, okay? So the first thing we need to see about the response of a thankful heart is to sing to the Lord. Brother David always encourages us to sing. Singing is a part of worship, and it is a natural response of a thankful heart. Sing to the Lord. Where it says, make a joyful noise, some translations render that shout with joy or shout joyfully. Who's it tells to do that? All you lands, everyone, everywhere, all languages, all localities, whoever you are and wherever you are, shout with joy to the Lord. And then it says, come before His presence with singing, with joyful singing. That singing can be public, as we do here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, sing hymns together or choruses. That singing can be private. Why do we have singing before we have the preaching of God's Word? Why do we start our worship services with singing? Because singing prepares the heart to commune with God. You can get in touch with God listening to some worshipful music, where it might be more difficult if you didn't have that worshipful music. We should sing to the Lord. It's a natural response, and it really helps us to commune with God. We learn truths through songs. We learn things through songs. Think about it. How did you learn the ABCs? Probably learned it through a song. You learn Bible verses through songs sometimes. And so we learn things through songs. The hymn writers have written down hymns, and there's a lot of Bible truth, doctrinal truth in those hymns. And you can learn a lot by singing those hymns and singing those worshipful songs. So singing prepares our hearts to commune with God. So a thankful heart, one of the responses of a thankful heart is a thankful heart sings to the Lord. Secondly, in verse 2, a thankful heart serves the Lord. Did you catch it in verse 2? Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. You know, worship without service is kind of empty and hollow. And let me give you an analogy of that. If you love your spouse or your family member, your parents, your children, whatever, you probably express that love to them. You say, I love you, or I love you because, or something of that nature. You express your feelings and your love and devotion. And that's sort of like worship. What do when we worship? We express our love and our feelings toward God. Well, if you express those feelings to a family member and never show it in any kind of actions whatsoever, that becomes kind of hollow. If you have a spouse that you love, you probably enjoy doing something for them because it brings them joy, whether it's bring them a cup of coffee or whatever, just some little service. Worship without service is really kind of empty and hollow. And so as God's people, when we worship the Lord, we need to also serve the Lord. That's a part of our worship, is serving the Lord. And did you notice how it said? It says, serve the Lord with gladness. We're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness and joy, not grudgingly. Rather than saying, oh, it's Wednesday night, I got to go to choir practice. Brother David expects us up there. We got to warm up for choir. Brother John expects me to be at outreach. If I don't come to outreach, then he's going to think bad of me. He expects me to teach, or he expects me to whatever. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to. That's not a good attitude when we're talking about serving the Lord. The Lord who chose us, the Lord who saved us, the Lord who made us, the Lord who gives us life, the Lord who gives us health, gives us a mind that can work and serve and think and comprehend. We need to serve the Lord, and we need to serve the Lord not grudgingly, but joyfully. So a thankful heart sings to the Lord. A thankful heart serves the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The third one is a thankful heart worships the Lord. So how do you get that, Brother John, out of that verse? Well, those gates and those courts are talking about the temple, God's house, in our minds, the church. Cast your mind back to the Old Testament times when they set up the tabernacle. There were gates and courts. When they built the temple, there were gates and there were courts. It would be almost like us saying, enter into the parking lot with thanksgiving and come into the building with praise. That's sort of the way it would be for us. So this is talking about coming to God's house. A thankful heart will motivate you to attend church. You know, during the coronavirus lockdown, we didn't attend church for a long time. Did you miss it? I imagine you did. A thankful heart will want to worship the Lord. And of course, that can be private as well, but it can also be public. So a thankful heart will motivate you to attend church because a thankful heart worships the Lord, sings to the Lord, serves the Lord, worships the Lord. And then a thankful heart praises the Lord. Look at the rest of verse 4. It says, enter into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. I want to focus on that word, bless. The word bless literally means praise. So when we bless, we praise, we exalt, we admire, we lift up his name and his attributes. And the same is true today. If you have praise for somebody, for something that they've done or for their character or something, what do? You exalt them, you lift them up, you admire them, you lift up his name, their attributes, and that's what God says. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. You know, when we pray, a good way to do a little evaluation of your personal prayer time is think about how much time do I spend asking God for things, and how much time do I spend just praising God? We need to spend some time exalting God, praising his name, lifting him up, and glorifying him for who he is. We need to do some of that as we pray. So a thankful heart praises the Lord. So we've looked at the reasons for a thankful heart and the response of a thankful heart. Next, I want to turn over in the New Testament, and you can turn there too, Romans 1, and we're going to look at the ruin of an unthankful heart. Say, what's the big deal? Maybe I'm thankful, maybe I'm not. Well, I want you to see something in Romans chapter 1, the ruin of an unthankful heart. I'm going to read to you verses 18 through 21. You will recognize the passage, and I won't read the rest of the chapter. But verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He's saying, look, everybody on earth can see God in the universe, in the world. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, by us, those who are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And that verse is telling us that everyone on the planet knows that there is a God. They can see that there is a God. They can see that in the universe, in creation. And it says, they're without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Right in the middle of that, it says they knew God, they could see that there is a God, but instead of glorifying God, they were unthankful. Neither were they thankful. They were unthankful. So unthankfulness is really the beginning point of all the terrible sins described in verses 22 to 32. And I'm not going to read them right now. You probably remember this passage, but it describes the downward course of men who do not trust God, do not live for God, and are not thankful to God. And it goes way down. It's really, really terrible. But it all starts with being unthankful. That's the beginning point of sin. And it says when people are unthankful, they become vain in their imagination, their thinking. Vain means worthless, destitute of wisdom. You ever known someone and you think, well, what they did, that was a really stupid thing to do. Didn't they know better than that? Well, a lot of times people are vain in their understanding. They don't understand. They don't have wisdom to know what's right and what's wrong. And it says their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart. You know, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you don't believe there's a God, your foolish heart is darkened and you're heading down the path of sin. So they're unable to see or comprehend the truth. And as I thought and prayed and contemplated about this passage here, about the ruin of an unthankful heart, it occurred to me that pride is the opposite of thankfulness. Think about that. We often think about pride being the opposite of humility, and it is. But pride is the opposite of thankfulness. Why do you say that? Self-sufficient people are not thankful. If I did it and I earned it and I built it and I made it, then who do I have to be thankful for, right? A self-sufficient person is not a thankful person. And really, the person who is not thankful has one of two problems. Either he or she thinks they deserve whatever they receive, and to illustrate that in a silly way, it's so-and-so's birthday, and you give them a birthday present, and they don't thank you. Why? It's because it's my birthday. I deserve that. You're supposed to give me a gift. I'm entitled to that. I deserve it. So either they think they deserve whatever they receive, or they think they are the source of everything they have. That's a terrible place. That's pride in its ultimate. So thankfulness is really tied to humility. Like I say, the opposite of pride. If you are thankful, you are humble. Thankful people are aware of their needs and their inability to meet them. If you have maybe you've got a huge need in your life or your family, maybe there's some type of a family crisis, and you are praying about that situation, why do you pray about it? Because you can't go fix it yourself. That's why you pray about it. You pray, and then when God answers, you're thankful because you knew, I didn't have anything to do with this. All I did was pray, and God worked in this situation. Like those lepers we talked about at the beginning of the message. The one who was thankful realized, I asked for Jesus to heal me, and He did, and He deserves my thanks and my praise. So thankful people are aware of their needs and their inability to meet them. They're aware that they're needy. So we've talked about the reasons for a thankful heart and the response of a thankful heart and the ruin of an unthankful heart. I want to close out with two quick little verses of Scripture that cause us to remember to have a thankful heart. Two verses of Scripture. You don't even need to turn there. They'll be on your screen. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, giving thanks always for all things. Say, wait a minute. The calendar only says Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in November. I got to be thankful The other Thursdays? The other weeks? The other days? Yes, give thanks always for all things. But Brother John, this is a bad situation. Something has gone the wrong way for me. Do I need to be thankful for that? We need to be thankful in that situation, realizing that God is working it for our good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says that again. In everything, give thanks. In everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I just don't feel thankful. You know what? It's God's will for you to be thankful, for you and me to be thankful. So we need to give thanks at all times and in all circumstances. And when we're going through bad things, we need to remember God is the one who promised that He's working everything together for good. The bad is and the good, they're all working together for our good. He is good. He is God. And so we can be thankful in all circumstances. As we wrap it up, let me ask you a few questions. Do you have a thankful heart? I started out with that question. Do you have a thankful heart? Remember, a thankful heart sings to the Lord, serves the Lord, worships the Lord, and praises the Lord. Now, why does a person with a thankful heart do those things? It's because they know that the Lord is God. He made us. He claims us to be His people. He provides for us. He's good. His mercy is unending, and His truth is unchanging. Does that describe you? If you do not have a thankful heart, then I got to ask you two questions. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You won't be a thankful person unless you know Jesus Christ and you realize what He's done for you. If not, do you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's as simple as this. Recognize the fact that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Turn from your sin and confess your sin to the Lord and place your faith and trust in Him for salvation, realizing you can't do it yourself. So, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, I hope you will before this day is out. And do you want to have a thankful heart? Ask God to help you be a thankful person. I want to encourage you to maybe sit down this week. You may have some time off from work for the Thanksgiving holiday. Sit down this week and make a list of things to thank God for. You can start with the things we found here in Psalm 100, but you could probably list 100 more or more than that. So let's be thankful people. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time we've had to be in Your house this morning. And we thank You for these truths that we've seen in Scripture. Lord, I pray that You would cause us to be thankful people, to be people who recognize Your grace, Your mercy, and Your goodness, and thank You for those things. We pray, Lord, that You would glorify Yourself in our lives, show Yourself strong in our lives, and we pray that we would have opportunities to point others to You. Lord, during this time of invitation, if anyone needs to know Jesus, I pray You'd draw them to the Savior right now. And others who may just need to ask You to help them to be more thankful, I pray that You'd work in their lives as well. Do what You want to accomplish here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time to respond if you feel the Lord leading you in any fashion, whether it's to receive Jesus as your Savior or unite with this church, or if you just want to come to the altar and pray. This is your time.